Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here with High Velocity Radio, and these are my very favorite episodes because these are the thought leader radio episodes where we interview the best and the brightest doing the most innovative things around the country. Today we got Karen Respecki, and she is with MasonJars.com. Welcome, Karen.
Hey, Lee. Thanks for having me.
Well, MasonJars.com, everybody's heard of the word Mason Jars, but I guess you guys are dealing with them a little differently. Can you share a little bit about what you're up to?
Yeah, for sure. We have our company is basically focused on making mason jars more useful. They have been around for almost 160 years, really starting as a method of survival for people to be able to travel and preserve their food. So today, mason jars are used even a little more broadly. It's not so much survival as it is kind of do-it-yourself. People want to have fresh food. They want to know where their food comes from. They want to store things in glass, minimize their plastic. So it has different uses today. But what we find is because of the standardization of mason jars and the unique look of them, they seem to be the most multi-purpose vessel that we have in the kitchen. So it's more than just decor. Some people use them for weddings and decor, but really the real key to having mason jars is their usefulness.
So the fact that they can be used in so many different ways is kind of a bonus, right? Because there is some similarity. They all have the same type of lid. Like, what makes them kind of like what makes a mason jar as opposed to any other jar?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's really because of that continuous thread lid. The John Mason is the inventor of the mason jar. It's named after him, and he actually was a tinsmith. He made lids, and he created a standardized jar to fit a standardized lid. And as you know, once you standardize something, it really changes things. Previously, you couldn't really reuse jars too much because they all had different sizes. And so in order to find the lids that matched is pretty difficult. But once you standardize something, then you can do something mass production, and then you can make something more useful for people. So that's really the difference is the standard size mouth and the continuous thread to make things reusable.
But do mason jars come in, do they hold different amounts? Are there different sizes, but the threads in the mouth are the same?
Right. Yeah. So a lot of people think that there's multiple sizes of mason jars. There are different volumes. So there's all the way from 4 ounces jars to half gallon jars. So lots of different sizes in volume, but the mouth sizes, there's only two, and it's called a regular mouth and a wide mouth. So with just having two mouth sizes, you can have a huge variety of volume sizes in these jars.
Mm-hmm. So now, how did you get involved with mason jars?
So I did can years ago, but I also reuse mason jars, always have. I like to make my own homemade salad dressing and other things in mason jars. And at the time, there was really just that lid and ring, and it's pretty messy if you're making salad dressing and using that. It was pretty messy. And I got fed up one day and thought, oh, I need to have a better cap for this jar so that I can shake, pour, and store my salad dressing from it. And I went online to look and I couldn't find it. And I thought, oh, my search skills must be really terrible. So I spent a week trying to find it and couldn't find it. And I thought, oh, this is something I really want. I wonder if other people would want it too. So I became interested in creating it. And I created a prototype and put it on Kickstarter because I thought, well, I think this is something people would want, but you don't know, right?
Right.
Until people are ready to buy something, you don't really know if they're interested. So Kickstarter is almost like pre-sales. Put on Kickstarter, and I just got a huge response. People were really excited, and that made me excited in return that I could bring something to market that's different that nobody's had before, but they really want, and they can get rid of their single-use plastic water bottles and reuse mason jars and make their smoothies in them, and just have all kinds of uses that help people to minimize their waste and just kind of live a little healthier.
Well, can you maybe share some tips for other listeners out there that are attempting to do a Kickstarter or crowdsourced adventure like this? Had you had any experience kind of manufacturing something like this and then selling it in this manner?
Yeah, so I did have experience in manufacturing. I never was in plastic manufacturing, but I knew manufacturing processes. I worked at GE and in multiple GE businesses, so I was familiar with developing processes for manufacturing. I've never worked in consumer products. Don't even like to shop, actually, and didn't do anything on the internet. So there were a lot of things that I didn't know. But I knew enough that my family is very entrepreneurial, and I've heard stories from other people that pour a lot of money into developing a product and never selling anything and, taking out second mortgages and going into a lot of debt. So the main thing I feel using crowdfunding or any type of method like that, that you can actually test the market before huge investments, I think is really critical. Because we think anybody coming up with an idea for a product, everybody thinks their idea is great. You just don't know if it'll sell. But so anything you can do to try to test the market first is really critical.
So now, when you decided to go the Kickstarter way, did you already have a groundswell of support kind of in your local community? Or was this something you're like, well, we'll just throw it on Kickstarter and see what happens?
Yeah, that's exactly what we did. I did not reach out to anybody to get support ahead of time. I didn't file a patent. I didn't do all the things that you're supposed to do. I truly just made a video, made a prototype. I entered a local design contest, but really didn't do anything to promote it. Now, once I went live, I reached out to different bloggers and influencers that are into, healthy living or canning or that sort of thing. I reached out to people to say, hey, I have this idea for a product. If you're interested, check it out. And people were very supportive. The people that I reached out to, I guess they're always looking for new cool products and stories. So they did check me out and they did support me and they spread the word, and it was very helpful. Today, so that was back in 2011, and when you had to get approval from Kickstarter to even put a project on there. Now today it's different. There's hardly any approval process. Anybody can put their projects on. There's so many projects. To be able to get seen today, you'd have to actually do a lot of outreach and try to get as many influencers on board when you launch as possible.
Now, has the kind of the ecosystem around mason jars changed since you started? Like, are more and more people using mason jars for a variety of things?
Definitely. In fact, I just met with a Walmart buyer a couple weeks ago, and they're the largest buyer of mason jars and seller of mason jars in the world. So it was interesting hearing from them. They've been watching the uses of mason jars. And up until this year, it was always the main use for mason jars, still was canning. But now this is the first year that it's really tipped the scales, and it's about 50-50 So 50% of the folks buying mason jars is doing it for canning, and 50% are doing it for other uses. So interesting how things have changed. My fear when I launched, again, I was like the first off use of a mason jar cap to make mason jars more useful. And the timing was just great where it was becoming, you know, super popular, kind of a hipster trend, and which worried me, right? Because trends are not necessarily a good thing, because trends have to change. There's a trend for wedding decor, that's not going to last. So I was concerned that turning mason jars into a trend could be a bad thing. But it turns out it's not, mainly because mason jars are so useful. Yeah, you can use it for decor, but it's really the functionality that is the purpose and the star. And there's so many ways to use them. We have a device that we turn the mason jar into a fermenter, which is really, you know, spot on for today's lifestyle, because there's a lot being written about gut health and how fermented foods will help your gut health. And what's interesting about fermenting is it is so easy. It's so much easier than canning. And so using mason jars in that process is just a natural fit. And we have the products to just help with that process.
So now, I mean, mason jars have stood the test of time, so that's working in your favor. And then now it seems with this, kind of the environmental or sustainability trend that's going on as well, this plays nicely in that because it's reusable. It seems like you're hitting a lot of the notes that a lot of people today care about.
Right. You know, what is so funny, and I hear this all the time, is you know, people say, oh, I have so many mason jars, you know, and a lot of people say, what can I do with these? So we have a lot of solutions for people to use mason jars in ways that they never thought of. But what I find so funny is that's the beauty of mason jars is they're recyclable. But it's funny how people don't want to put the mason jars in the recycle bin. It's the most recyclable product in the world, sand, right? It's so easily recyclable, but yet people, they don't want to get rid of them. They keep their mason jars.
It's because of the threads at the top. It makes it seem like this is something you can use again. It isn't something you should throw away, so you hang on to it.
Right.
And then they can go to masonjars.com, and there's a million different lids and caps and uses that you can expand the use of it in ways that they probably never even imagined.
Right, exactly. It's basically a whole system. If you want to, you know, learn about meal prep and have the tools to do that, this is a great system to do that. If you want to reduce your footprint and, like for example, I'll go to the co-op and take my mason jars and fill it with the bulk foods, and then you write down the tare weight, so you're just paying for what's inside the jar, not the weight of the jar. And it's nice. It's already, I get the exact same amount that I need. I'm not buying a package of a size that I don't want. I'm buying exactly what I want, and I don't have to, you know, worry about getting rid of packaging. So it's a really great way for people who do want to, you know, care about their, you know, footprint. It's a great way to do it.
And you mentioned food prep. You can make, you know, your breakfast oatmeals for a week in mason jars and just leave them in the refrigerator, and it's making itself, and you're set for breakfast every day, right?
Yeah, yeah. And another thing is, like, that's one thing, like snacking. There's a lot of people, you know, snack, and they want to snack with healthy food, healthy-ish, but it takes time. It's so much easier to grab maybe a bag of chips or something. But a lot of people, like on Sunday is a good prep day where you get all your veggies out, cut them up, put them in mason jars, and they're ready to go. So you always have them on hand, very easy. You can then turn it into a meal or a salad, but then you also have it on hand for snacks as well.
Now, what made you pivot from just making lids for mason jars to creating kind of this online I don't know what you call it, an online
marketplace
for all types of mason jar kind of purveyors.
Right. And it's not just mason jars. It's like home goods and solutions. It's about solutions. A couple of things. So our customers come to masonjars.com to buy my recap products. And I always thought, wow, that takes dedication for somebody to go to, a single product line website to buy stuff when there's marketplaces where you can buy, Amazon and, Etsy, eBay, you can buy multiple things. I always found it was just amazing that they would take the time to do that. And I wanted to provide more products for them, but it takes a long time to bring a product to market. It would be very difficult for me to bring in myself to create all the products I felt would be necessary to give the customers a nice breadth of products. And in the meantime, I also started working with other entrepreneurs, helping them bring products to market. I thought, oh, I would love to have a marketplace where, one, I can provide more original products to customers, but also in the meantime, help entrepreneurs to be successful too. And that's really how the idea started. And we decided to create a marketplace. So we're inviting other makers, entrepreneurs to bring their products and sell them on the marketplace, and also provide solutions. So it's not just about selling a product. It's about, all right, how do you use that product? How do you, turn that product into something useful that can make a difference for someone?
So now when you're doing this marketplace, who kind of can be a part of this? Is it has to be mason jar centric, or is it broader than that?
Broader than that. It's going to be home goods. So mostly kitchen stuff. So for example, we have Humble Elephant that is selling on the masonjars.com, and she has custom-made rolling pins, and she also has etched jars. She etches designs and names in jars, like mason jars. She makes spice jars that are etched. She also makes these rolling pins for kids and has the recipe of how to make Play-Doh so that it's, with safe ingredients, and teaches them how to use the rolling pins and creating different projects. We have Bison Hill Stonecraft. They make cutting boards out of stone. We have a company called Bloom Display. They turn a mason jar into cupcake holders, which is gorgeous for weddings and events. Instead of having like a big cake, having the tables full of the cupcakes actually works out really well. And the display is beautiful. So we have different products. We have somebody that's four peas in a pod, and she makes these specialty aprons. I love it. It's, do you ever go into the garden and maybe you're picking some weeds, and then you see, oh, geez, there's like, ripe tomatoes and zucchini and whatever. And a lot of times you'll end up putting them in your T-shirt to try to carry them
right,
out. She has this really cool garden apron that you just wear around your waist, and then you just put your vegetables in there. It's really nice. So we try to combine products that you're using in the house or in the garden. We also have some kid products too. We have it's called Go and Explore, and it's a bug catcher kit. And it's with a plastic mason jar, and it glows in the dark and has a magnifier lid. So anything to do with anything around the home or garden or kids.
So now, right now, a lot of the makers are based out of Pennsylvania. That's near you, but it's open to everybody.
Correct. Yeah. So right now we wanted to start small with a launch so that we could work one-on-one with the makers, making sure that they have a good experience. We literally just launched the website last week, and so we want to make sure customers have a good experience and our original makers have a good experience. and things look great. So now we're going to be, we have a list of makers that we're vetting, and we'll be bringing them on board. So yeah, this is going to be really a global thing. We sell primarily to the U.S. 70% of our sales are U.S., 30% are international. We are definitely focused on U.S. makers, but certainly we're open to, with the right fit, makers from all over.
Now, since you've been doing this, has there been anything that's like a real clever use of mason jars that you're like, oh, wow, I didn't think of that. That's a great way to use it.
I think the fermentation is, I just see as a great way to use mason jars, and having a tool to do that. The other thing that I think a lot of people are doing is cold brew coffee. They're creating these stainless steel filters and using mason jars with those. I think that's clever. I've seen nut grinders and some other things that I think are pretty clever. But the best one is, of course, I guess I'm biased, is the first one I created, which is the pour cap. It is so multi-purpose. I use it every day for my water bottle. I store things in it. It's great for pouring out, you know, sugar and flour, any staple item. You know, putting M&Ms in there, it just is really multifunctional.
Now, I heard a rumor, and you tell me if this is true. My business partner, Stone, he's the producer of the show. He has a love affair with kefir, and you have kefir kit, don't you?
Right. Yes, I do. And it was actually from me creating kefir myself for the first time, and the kit I was using, I'm like, oh, this is, it was using plastic. It wasn't even using glass. I'm like, oh, this cannot stand. So by me making my own, I'm like, oh, I think I can make something better. And so I did. I created a system and a process using mason jars and using our caps to create your own kefir at home. And I did that with the dairy. And then I just started doing the water kefir, which was really great too. So I'm glad to hear somebody else is doing that.
Well, this is Stone talking. Banner day for me. First thing, it sounds like I may have learned something. Is the way to pronounce this kefir, is that actually the way to pronounce it? Because I haven't known.
There's multiple ways to pronounce it, and I never get hung up on it. Some people do. But kefir or kefir, kefir. So people call it different things, but it's...
Okay.
I think it's regional. It doesn't matter what it's called.
I love it.
The point.
I absolutely love it. I discovered it and started putting it in my smoothies, and it makes such a better smoothie than any of the other stuff that I was trying. I absolutely love it, and when I go, I'll buy two or three bottles at a time, because one bottle is just for Stone to slide by the refrigerator, grab it, and drink it straight out of the bottle. And my wife knows this. We're empty nesters now, and she knows that bottle up there at the top right, that Stone's just walked by. And it's very satisfying, right? Like, sometimes I work from home, and I we're going to do a kefir show sometime, maybe. But I absolutely love it, and I'm gonna get this gizmo that you're talking about, I'm sure.
Oh, great.
Well, if somebody wanted to learn more about Recap and all the other things going on at masonjar.com, is that the place to go, masonjars.com?
Yep, masonjars.com. And there's lots of things to learn and shop. And also, we encourage others to share their creations. So there's a method to also, you know, upload and share things that you've made and have done. And you can earn loyalty points doing it. So earn rewards and use it to buy some products.
Well, Karen, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Peyton. We will see you all next time on Thought Leader Radio.